praise.
Thank you for your giving to the Lord here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many love Jesus? Amen. I want to thank those that gave online and through text. Amen. Also, amen. Praise the Lord. And also, amen. Thank everybody for their faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. Why don't we all stand and grab our Bibles? Amen. And this morning, as you turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 11. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Thank you for beautiful worship here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 11, amen, I just want to have a few commercials here this morning. We had a great weekend, amen, for us with Code Red and the women really had a great time, amen, Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday they had the women's seminar yesterday morning. And so, the ladies on fire, amen. If you're not on fire, then something's wrong, amen. We preached on that on Friday, amen. We had a great service Friday night. And then last night we had a great rally also, amen, and through evangelism, amen, and what a great Saturday. And then here we are today, amen. There's nothing like serving the Lord, amen. There's never a dull moment, amen. It's not easy, amen, but it's worth it, amen. It's worth it, and we're a people of purpose, amen. We have a purpose, and we live on purpose, amen. You know, we don't live aimlessly, amen. We have a purpose, amen. It is not a selfish purpose, amen. It's a giving purpose. And so, you know, we've just been having a great weekend, amen, a great week, amen. We were able to get our children's ministry air conditioning working, amen. And praise the Lord. We got a brand new 5-ton unit for them out there, amen. And so, you know, they're blessed, amen. Now we got some cool kids.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Amen. Now we got some real cool kids. Amen. And so it couldn't be possible without your giving. Amen. And so we want to thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. And with your giving and pastor's, skills, sometimes I had to jump into my old ways. People try to get over on the church because we're a church. Amen. And, you know, my wife sometimes, she don't like it, amen, but I just don't let them get over on us, amen. You know, I don't let them get over on me, hello somebody, amen. And so, you know, they tried, but they failed, amen. And we got over on them a little bit, amen. And so, but how many know God is faithful, amen, God is faithful, amen. And so, we want to thank you for your giving, amen. It's not in vain, amen. Everything you see is because of the giving, amen. And really, you know, one time somebody once said, you know, you shouldn't thank the church for their giving, because in reality, you know, the tithe, they owe it to God. You know, so to say thank you for something you owe to God, I mean, it really doesn't make sense, right? You know, right? Come on now, don't leave me up for myself. You understand, you get my point, amen. Now, we thank you for your offerings, hello somebody. Because it's those offerings, amen, that help build the church. Amen. Pastor Jesse taught me, he said, you build the church off of the offering, not the tithes. And that's the challenge, because we're great at giving tithes. But when it comes down to the offering, the extra, amen, that's where sometimes the struggle may be. Amen. But God is faithful and God is good. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is good.
God is good.
Tell your neighbor, God has been good to me.
God has been good to me.
Tell your neighbor, from the looks of it, God's been good to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's good to be in God's house. I'm ready to preach God's word. Are you ready to hear the word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to discipline myself to get shorter in preaching. Amen. So, pray for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But how many know I specialize in making a long story longer?
Yes.
1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. I titled this message, Earn Your Bones. Still in the Kingdom series, but earn your bones. Tell your neighbor, earn your bones. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Nahash the Ammonite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you. But Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and so bring disgrace on all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us,
"We will surrender to you." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the field behind his oxen, and he asked, "What is wrong with everyone? Why are they weeping?" Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. When Saul heard these words, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the pieces by messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming, "This is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel." Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out together as one. Somebody say, as one. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000 and those of Judah 30,000. They told the messengers who had come, "Say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be rescued." When the messengers went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever you like." The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. Somebody say, the heat of the day. Verse 12, the people said to Samuel, "Who was it that asked, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Turn these men over to us so that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "No one will be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal and made Saul king in the presence of the Lord. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray that Jesus will be preached here today. Father, remove me to the side, anoint my life, and have your way. Let every heart be open to what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church here this morning. Father, we give you all the praise. We rebuke the devil right now, God. God, the enemy's plan to distract, Lord, and steal the word and the seed of your word, right now, remove it, God. Let our minds be clear and our heart be focused on what you have for us here this morning. Let us forget about the problems of yesterday and this morning, and let us focus totally upon what you have to say for us. We give you all the praise and the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Come on, you may be seated here this morning. Here we have in chapter 11, Saul, who had just been anointed to be king. We preached on that last Sunday. We preached on that last Sunday how God raised up Saul and anointed Saul to be king. But even though Saul had been anointed king, he still did not have the trust and the confidence of the people. In other words, Saul still had to earn his bones. See, many young leaders will face this. Saul, King Saul, was a young king. He had just been anointed to be the first king of Israel. He had no pattern to, an example to pattern himself after.
Right.
So he was young in the things of God. He was young in the kingdom of God. He was a young king.
Amen.
And so today, when it comes down to leadership, God likes to raise up young leaders. Can I hear some leaders say amen?
Yeah.
He likes all types of leaders. But God loves to raise up leaders in his house.
Right.
Wherever you're at in age, you might have got saved when you were 50 years old, and God is now calling you to leadership, and God is now calling you to service in his kingdom. It doesn't matter how old you are, you will still be a young leader in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And many young leaders will face this. Just because you hear the calling of God, just because somebody prophesies over your life, that you're going to be a pastor, and that you're going to be a leader, and that you're going to be an evangelist. Just because you're called doesn't mean that people will automatically follow you.
Amen.
Just because you're called, it doesn't mean that people will automatically listen to you.
Amen.
Just because you receive the calling of God doesn't automatically mean that you will have a voice within the ministry, within the church.
Mm.
It takes time to be able to have a voice and to earn your bones.
Yeah.
Notice that in verse 4, listen what in verse 4 says in chapter 11. Listen to what they do here in verse 4. It says, when the messengers that came to Gibeah of Saul, the messengers that had came from Jabesh, it says they reported these things to the people. They reported these things to the people. It doesn't say that they went to Saul. It says they went to the people. It tells you that they still hadn't earned, they still hadn't put their confidence and their trust in King Saul. Because King Saul had to earn his bones with the people. Today, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't feel entitled just because we're called or we have a position or we have a title. My friend, that doesn't mean anything.
Right, amen.
Young leaders need to earn their bones.
Amen.
Step parents need to earn their bones.
Amen.
New employees need to earn their bones.
Right.
Teenagers and young adults need to earn their bones.
Amen.
We need to earn our bones with people. We just can't come in and start barking orders.
Amen.
We don't have a voice. People don't know us. They don't know our character. They don't know our reputation. For all they know, we could have a bad character and a bad reputation.
Right.
We have to understand that, listen, nothing is just given to you.
Amen.
Salvation is free, but everything else has a price tag, my friend.
Come on now.
Huh? Your calling is going to cost you.
Amen.
Your destiny is going to cost you.
Amen.
I know in a ministry like this, we preach a lot of vision. We preach hope. And listen, we paint a beautiful picture of your future in God because it is right. Your future with Jesus is bright.
Right.
So you listen, but even though it's bright and even though we preach it and you feel and you get stirred like, yes, I'm going to take a city. Yes, my family's going to serve God. Yes, my children are going to be saved and they're going to be men and women of God. Yes, that is true, but it's going to cost you, my friends.
Amen.
It's going to cost you a lot of prayer. It's going to cost you a lot of fasting. It's going to cost you a lot of sweat. It's going to cost you a lot of tears. It's going to cost you a lot of late in the midnight hour prayer meetings. It's going to cost you a lot of counseling sessions. It's going to cost you a lot.
Right.
Salvation is free. Everything else comes with a price tag.
That's right.
See, if everything was given to us real easy, we would be spoiled children of God.
Right.
Have you ever seen a spoiled kid
at
the grocery store? You just want to grab them, bend them over your leg and just come on now, right? They're over there throwing a hissy fit because mama don't buy them a toy. Come on now. It's probably because everything was just given to them. And then when you don't, and then all of a sudden when you say no, they manifest. Come on, somebody. Huh? Listen, we don't want to be a bunch of spoiled children of God, my friend. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a spoiled son of God, my friend. And if that means that I got to go up the rough side of the mountain, then let it be. Nothing has come easy for Victory Outreach, Grand Perry. Come on, somebody say amen. We're not a church that God just gave it to us. We came up on the rough side of the mountain. We pioneered this thing, my friend. We just didn't come to the city and people were ready to come to church, my friend. No, we went to the streets and we got people. We didn't empty out other churches. No, we rolled up our sleeves. We got some flyers and we went out there and started evangelizing and inviting people to the streets. And it ain't easy to get people to come to church. But we ain't looking for handouts. We're here to earn our bones.
Amen.
We came here, me and my wife came here to earn our bones. And listen, if you think that God's just going to give you something, you're in for a rude awakening. You think that God's just going to give you a good marriage? No, my friend, you're going to have to work for that good marriage. You think that God's just going to give you, you know, a good position? No, my friend, you're going to have to earn that good position. Huh? You're going to have to earn it. You think that God's just going to give you good children? No, you're going to have to be a good parent. You're going to have to be a good dad. You're gonna have to be a mom and a dad that prays and that brings them to church and rebukes them. Hello, somebody. Amen. Sometimes we don't like to get onto our kids, but hey, it has to be done. Yes. I want to give you three things Saul did to earn his bones. The first thing is that he had personal sacrifice. Verse 7, look at verse 7. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the pieces by messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming, "This is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel." He took some of his personal oxen. This was his John Deere. Okay, for some. Okay, you don't know what John Deere is. All right. let me think of something else. This was his work truck.
Hello.
We're on our way to go get the air conditioner, the condenser. One day, I don't know, this week, me and Josh in the van, you know, and he pulls behind a big truck. And behind this big truck, man, he says, he almost fainted. I'm just kidding. But he did. I want that truck. That's my dream truck, Pastor. And I said, what's so special about the truck, man? He said, I can do a lot. We can do everything. We can make a lot of money with that truck. I said, what? He said, yeah, it has a crane. It has a torch. It had all kinds of contraptions on it. A lot of machines. We can make a lot of money with that, Pastor. He said, that's my dream truck, you know? He said, man, we could make some money with this truck. It had a bunch of, it was a tool truck. I don't know what you call it, a mechanic truck. I don't know. He knows what it is. But Saul's oxen was like Josh's dream truck. Huh? And Saul, in order to make his point, in order to prove his point, in order to get people to follow him, he had to make a personal sacrifice. Because the people yet had not decided to follow him into battle. And so Saul, under the anointing of God, under the power of God, and under the wisdom of God, had a great idea. And his idea is, I'm going to give the people an example of what's going to happen to them if they don't follow me and the prophet of God into battle. Wow. And so I'm going to make a personal, I'm going to show them that, listen, I'm not just telling them something that I'm not willing to do. I'm telling them something that I am personally willing to sacrifice. Good. And I am personally willing to sacrifice my workhorse. My dream truck. Come on. I'm personally willing to sacrifice. And so he got those pair of oxen and he cut them up. And he sent the pieces into all the land. And he sent them with a messenger. And the message was this: if you do not come out and follow us into battle, then the same thing that happened to my work truck is going to happen to your work truck.
Oh, wow.
Talk about leadership. Talk about kingship. This is what they prayed for. This is what they were crying for. Come on, Jane, you remember? Remember how they were crying for a king? Remember how they were crying for a king? And now they got a king. Listen, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for because you may not know what you're asking for. And now here he is. And so he sends these messengers, but he had to make a personal sacrifice himself. He had to earn his bones. And Victory Outreach, Grand Perry, I'm here to tell you that if we're going to earn our bones, we're going to have to make some personal sacrifices.
Right.
See, it's easy to sacrifice somebody else's thing.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Right? It's like my kids, I trip out on them, you know, on Christmas or on birthdays. They try to give me presents and they bring me stuff and I say, that's mine anyways. Come on, son, have your kids? Is it just my kids? Okay, just my kids. You know? And I did it too when I was young. I remember, you know, getting my dad's toolbox. I wanted him to give him a Christmas present, and I got his toolbox, wrapped it up, and gave it to him. It's easy to give somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, but when it's your personal.
There it is.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Oh,
come on. When it comes out of that secret stash.
Oh.
When it's your personal. When it's your personal. Listen, it's It's your personal sacrifice. Saul, see, Saul did this because he was giving to the cause. He believed in the cause. You know what they were trying to do, these Ammonites? You know what they told they told these people? They said, listen, we will accept your terms of surrender only if we gouge out your right eye.
Wow.
And they were willing to give up their vision.
Wow.
They were willing to give up the vision. To these Ammonites. Why? Because they had stopped following God. And when you stop following God, you lose your valor.
Right.
You lose your valor, my friend. You lose your courage. And they were willing to give up their vision. Oh, but I thank God for some leaders that say, no, we're not going to give up the vision that God has given us. We're willing to fight. We're willing to earn our bones. We're ready to roll up our sleeves and lead into battle. Is there any people here that are willing to earn their bones and make a personal sacrifice here this morning? Saul gave for the cause. There's going to be a lot of personal sacrifice that will be needed to earn your bones. In order to earn your bones, there's going to be a lot of personal sacrifice. And not just in the ministry, but listen, we live in a society today. Listen, we live in a society where there's a lot of mixed families and we get hooked up. People get hooked up and this girl has kids and this guy has kids and that's great. Listen, get together and have a family and they're called a blended family. But don't expect those kids to automatically call you daddy. Don't expect those kids to automatically respect you. You're going to have to earn your bones with those kids.
Right.
And you know, in order to do that, you're going to have to make some personal sacrifices in your life.
Mm.
Huh?
Come on now.
There's some things that are going to have to change. Huh? Now all of a sudden, you're not used to feeding 6 mouths. You're just used to feeding 1 or 3 or 2. Come on, somebody. Huh? Am I talking to somebody here this morning? See, the problem is we don't think of that. We don't think about that before we get hooked up. We're just in the flesh. Pretty in the face, slim in the waist. Yeah, she's mine. Huh? That's all we're thinking. We just want to hook up. Oh, but we don't think about the 4 other little eyes. The 4 other little eyes and 2 other little mouths. You thought mama could eat. Hello, somebody. You forget that, huh? You ain't just going to cook just for you and him. You're going to cook for you and him and his 3. Come on, somebody. Huh? It's going to take earning your bones. It's going to take earning. Even in a marriage, you have to earn your bones, my friend. You can't expect for her just to bring your slippers and all this and that and to pamper you. You even got to earn your bones in your marriage, my friend. You want to be treated as a great husband, then be a great husband. Got to earn your bones. When you stop making personal sacrifices, you lose your cutting edge. Whenever a ministry, whenever a leader, whenever a pastor stops making personal sacrifices, that individual will lose his cutting edge. This is why Victory Outreach, we're always raising the standard. This is why we're always asking you to give and to sacrifice, because the day that we stop doing that is the day that we lose our cutting edge, my friend. And we don't want to lose our cutting edge. We want to stay on the cutting edge of ministry. We want to stay in the cutting edge of the kingdom of God, but it's going to take us continually making personal sacrifices. Like yesterday, some of you, we went to the morning to the women's seminar. You got up early after being on the streets Thursday and Friday, but you still said, I'm going to be there Saturday morning, even though I have other things to do. I'm going to make a personal sacrifice to be there on Thursday, to be there on Friday, to be there on Saturday. And some of you are so radical, you still went to the rally. You even went to the car wash. Why? Because you're making a personal sacrifice. You can be watching Saturday morning cartoons. You can be at Trader's Village, but just say, no, there is a cause. There is a cause. There is a world to be won. There is a city to be taken. And so therefore, I will sacrifice my personal Saturday, my personal time, because I am willing for the cause to make a personal sacrifice. And it's things like that that keep us on the cutting edge. We're a cutting edge church. I said, we're a cutting edge church. Huh? We're in ministry. We're on the front lines. We ain't on sinner's row, bro.
Come on.
We don't take the back seat. We take the front seat. We sit next to Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I'm riding shotgun today. You take the wheel. I'll be shotgun. Come on, somebody. Why? Because it takes a personal sacrifice. Not only does it take a personal sacrifice to earn your bones, but two, it takes public victories. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says, the next day Saul separated his men. He mustered up 330,000 men. And so he separated his men, in verse 11, into three divisions during the last watch of the night. They broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. They slaughtered them until the heat of the day. In order to earn your bones, you must have public victories.
Amen.
What does public victories mean? Public victories means this. Victory is not for yourself, but for the public. Well, let me say that one more time. Victory is not for yourself, but for the public. Oh, we like victories for ourselves. When we get a new house, that's a victory for yourself. When you get a new car, that's a victory for yourself. When you get a new suit, that's a victory for yourself. We like those victories. Come on, somebody, post it on Facebook. Look at my new house, my new car, my new shoes. Come on, my new hairdo. Right? And we like those victories. But how about public victories? Victories that you fight for the public.
Yeah.
Victories that you fight for somebody else.
Yeah.
See, in order to earn your bones, you gotta have some public victories. Victories that have nothing to do with you, but have everything to do with the hurting people of the world. Have everything to do with the treasures out of darkness, with the other people. That is a public victory. Saul had a public victory. He didn't have to come to their rescue. They weren't at his town. They weren't threatening to gouge out his vision and his eye. But he says it doesn't matter. It may not be my eye today, but it can be my eye tomorrow. So before it comes to the home front, I'm going to battle it on their front. And Saul said, you know what? Yeah, maybe it ain't personally affecting me right now, but God called me. God called me to be a leader. God called me to be on the front lines. And I can't just hide behind just because it ain't on my doorstep. And so therefore, he needed a public victory. And the Bible said it came in the heat of the day. Can I brag about Jesus here this morning? You know who else had a public victory in the heat of the day? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when he died, it was between the time between 12 and 3 o'clock that he died. In the heat of the day. Oh, Texas knows about the heat of the day. Come on, somebody. I went to the car wash yesterday. I didn't stay long. Because the heat of the day.
Come on.
I went out there and that sun started beating on my head. My head started throbbing. I told Oscar, too. I don't know how he did it. He had a nice hat on.
Yeah.
I said, man, this sun's getting to me already. The heat of the day. That sun was beaming down trying to take me down. You know what I like about God? You know what I like about Jesus? As he comes in the heat of the day. You're going through something right now? It's all right. You're going through a trial right now? It's okay. You're going through the fiery furnace like some young men named Meshach, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. God could have saved them before they were thrown into the furnace, but he didn't save them before they were thrown into the furnace. He allowed them to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and he allowed Pharaoh to turn it up 7 times higher, 7 times hotter, and there they were. But the Bible says that they were dead. That the king said, 3, 4 men. I see 4 men, and one looks like the Son of Man. One looks like God. And it was there that God appeared to these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he rescued them in the heat. He rescued them in the heat. You're going through a trial. It's all right. I talked about on Saturday about the heat. I talked about Saturday about the heat. What does heat do, my friend? Listen, heat makes us better, my friend. Heat makes us lose some weight. Come on, somebody. Some of us, we got some. I'm not talking about pounds either. I'm not talking about the love handles either. There's some weight that you've been carrying around that God says is unhealthy. And so therefore, in order for you to get rid of that weight, I want you to withstand the heat of the day. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave you by yourself, because in the heat of the day, I died for you. In the heat of the day, I rescued you. In the heat of the day, you can believe that I'm going to show up. Somebody holler and say amen. Amen. Jesus had a public victory. And we got to be a church that we learn to show up in the heat of the day. Oh, you ain't hearing me. We need to be a ministry. We need to be a people that we show up. Not when everything, the battle's over. That's how some people act. They come after the rally. Woo, shatala. Come on. They come when the hot dogs are made. Hello, somebody. No, my friend, we need to show up in the heat of the day. We need to show up for the battle. We need to show up ready to get in, put our hands to the plow. We need to show up when that married couple is right there and they're in the middle of the fight. That's when you need to show up and pray for them. That's when you need to show up and counsel them. That's when you, when the drug addict sticking the needle in his arm, that's when you need to show up. When the pipe to their mouth, that's when you need to show up in the heat of the day. Visit people when they're in prison. Visit people when they're in the hospital. Yeah. Oh, we don't like that. That's too much heat. I ain't just meal. I can't handle that. Huh? Oh, why? Because we don't want to be a Debbie Downer. We don't want nothing to put a downer to our life. So we don't visit people in the hospital. We don't visit people in prison. We don't go to the street. Why? Well, because man, seeing the all, man, I just need to have a good life. So I need to surround myself with good things, and I need to have a good time. So I need to go swimming, and I need to go to the movies, and I need to go to the village, and I need to always have a good time. Because you just want personal victories. We need public, in order to earn your bones, we need public victories, my friend. We need public victories that are not for us, but are for the public, my friend. That we fight battles for other people, just like Saul did, and just like Jesus did. In the heat of the day, he died for your sins. In the heat of the day, he died. He shed his blood for you and I. In the midst of darkness, he shed his blood for you and I. But listen, in the heat of the day, when Jesus died for you and I, listen, he came into my life in the midst when everything was falling apart. He came into my life when I was on my way to prison. He came into my life when the enemy disrupted my family. He came into my life when I was at my darkest point. He came into my life when I was addicted the most. He came into my life when I was depressed the most. He came into my life in the heat of the day. You may be here this morning in the heat of the day, but it's all right with Jesus, because Jesus is about to step into your life. We need victories for the public. Hallelujah. Battles fought for others. Have you fought someone else's battle? In order to be a good leader, you must help people out of their mess. If you want to be a good leader, you got to get messy. Oh, but you see my suit, Pastor? I can't afford to get messy. But you see this pretty dress? Oh, I can't afford their mess. I can afford their drama. Listen, why do you think we're so good at dramas? Let's do dramas. Why do you think we're so good at dramas? Because we got a lot of drama. Baby mama drama, baby daddy drama, in-law drama, outlaw drama, 5-0 drama, all kinds of drama. Huh? Listen, but in order to be a good leader, you must put up with people's drama. You must put up with people's mess. You must put up with them talking about you. You must put up with them stabbing you on the back, but you still forgive and you still love and you still act like it didn't happen. Have you ever had to act like it never happened? Come on, somebody. It gets messy. Oh, but you know what you're doing? So what you're doing? It's okay, come here, little. Booger you. You made a mess over here, but it's all right. I got this. You know why I got this? Because I learned this. Because I learned this. Because my pastor taught me this. Because my leaders taught me this. Because I have examples that do this. And so therefore, this is going to turn into this. You know what some people do? This is what they do. Huh? This is what they do. They look real good just like this. They stand at the door just like this. You look like a great servant.
Amen. Wow. Love, hallelujah.
But this, don't even got this. And you gotta sweat on it.
Amen.
You gotta put some sweat on it.
Right.
Listen, we need some people that at least put some sweat, put some dirt on the towel. Quit cooking, let that towel look real pretty sitting up there. And yeah, you look like a servant. Oh, but is there some blood? Is there some sweat? Is there some tears on that towel? Is there some mess from other people on that towel, my friend? And listen, I guarantee you, if you're in the ministry, if you're gonna get some mess on you. Come on, you're gonna get some gossip on you. You're gonna get some slander on you. You're gonna get some talking about you. It's gonna get on you, but it's all right. You're gonna act like it never happened because of the love of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did for us. Remember how you ran from him. Remember how he called you, but you ignored him. Remember how you even came, but you left. Oh, but he still acted like nothing ever happened. And he still loved you, and he still redeemed you, and he still accepted you back. Public victories. We need public victories. In order to be a good leader, you got to handle some mess. When you help people, when you help win public battles, God will help you win private battles. When you help win other people's public battles, God will help you win your private battles. Huh? It's just another way to say, handle God's business, he'll handle your business. Huh? So many worry about, what about my own battles? What about my own battles? Don't worry about your own battles. Just help that other brother with his battle. Just help that other sister with his battle. And when you help them, you're sowing a seed. You're sowing a seed. You're saying you keep on sowing those seeds. Oh, because in due time, you shall reap a harvest if you do not faint. So let's help win some public battles. And the last thing that Saul did to earn his bones is he pardoned people. Pardoned people. One, personal sacrifice. Two, public victories. Three, pardoning people. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. We remember what happened in chapter 10. When all the people finally followed him, when they anointed him, remember the verse that says, but some scoundrels said, who is Saul? Somebody says, some scoundrels, some men. It says, some men God touched their heart and they followed after Saul. But then it says, some scoundrels said, who is Saul? Like, who is he? Why is he being king? We don't even know him. Huh? It says, Paul stayed silent. So Saul stayed silent. Now look at chapter 11, verses 12 to 13. It says, the people... See, sometimes, listen, the truth goes before you. You ain't got to defend yourself.
That's right.
When people talk about you, you ain't got to defend yourself because the truth goes before you.
Right.
People talk about me all the time. They talk about me on Facebook. They talk about me on Twitter. They talk in the coffee shop. They talk. Listen, I learned to just and pray.
Right. Amen.
Because the Lord goes before me.
Right.
The Lord goes before me. So many times we want to defend ourselves, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. And I got the fastest thumb in the West, too. I got the fastest thumbs in the West.
Wow.
I can get on Facebook, too, and I can get on Instagram, too, and I can...
Wow.
If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles.
Amen.
Victory, oh, victory shall be mine.
Amen.
Victory, oh, victory shall be mine. Victory, oh victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh victory shall be mine. That's an old song we used to sing. Huh? And that's the concept that I still have today. But you know what? It goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than just partying. It goes deeper than just being quiet. It goes more deeper. It's listen, because you can be quiet, but then you hold it all in.
Yeah.
And then anger's burning inside. So it's not just about being quiet, but it's also about forgiveness.
Wow.
Look at what Saul did in verse 12. The people then said to Samuel, he didn't have to defend himself. The people started to defend him.
Yeah.
It says, then the people said to Samuel, who was it that asked? Who was it that said, shall Saul reign over us? How dare them? Who said it? Bring them here right now. They're about to get dealt with. That's what they were saying. Huh? Shall Saul reign over us? Turn these men over to us that we may put them to death. Well, that's why I like the Old Testament. That's what attracted me to the Bible. And I was like, man, people getting whacked. Some mafia stuff right here. Goodfellas, I mean, Godfather. Man, I was like, woohoo. Started reading this stuff. Huh? Look at verse 13. But Saul said, look at what Saul said. But Saul said, no one will be put to death today. For this day, the Lord, yeah, the king that you rejected, yeah, the Lord that you rejected, yeah, him, the Lord has rescued Israel. The Lord has rescued you, and I was just a vessel. Oh, but I'm a vessel that chooses to forgive. And so therefore, even though they deserve death, I pardon them. I pardon them. As a president pardons criminal, as a king, I have the authority to pardon. And so therefore, I pardon them. I release them. Do you know you have the power to release? You know the Bible says you have power to bind and let loose. And there's some people that are still bound up in their sin because you haven't let them go. Because you haven't forgiven them. You got to forgive. You got to say, man, I want nothing. I don't want it to be because of me that they still struggle. I want to release them by pardoning them. And we hold people in our anger. We hold people in our hurt for years and months because they hurt us.
Wow.
See, Saul learned not to take it personal. And church, we have to learn not to take it personal.
Right.
When people get under our skin, whether in the church or out of the church, don't take it personal. Because you know it's the work of Satan trying to get you to hold unforgiveness and trying to get you into bondage and trying to drag you down like him.
Right.
But Saul earned his bones here. You know what happened here? In doing this, in pardoning them, in forgiving them, you know what happened here? In doing this, he gained respect.
Amen.
He gained respect.
Amen.
People looked at him and said, wow, we thought you said, yeah, get them. We thought you were going to say, yeah, go kill them. We thought that, man, but you did something totally different. And you became a bigger man.
Thank you, Jesus.
You took the high road. Listen, he didn't lose anything. He gained everything.
Amen. Right.
Sometimes we think that if we forgive people and we're for cool people again, sometimes we think we lose something. Sometimes we think that we're in danger of losing it. When listen, you're not in danger of losing it. You are in a place to gain the respect of the people when you learn to take the high road, when you learn to live in the upside down kingdom and do the opposite of what people think. Listen, sometimes people, when people do stuff to us, they think that we're gonna attack. But listen, we can't think like that, we can't act like that. We gotta do the opposite, because why? We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and it's the same thing that Jesus did for you and I. He pardoned us, even though we were sinners, even though we were far away from him. He pardoned us, he forgave us, and he gained the world the respect of the world. He gained of all our respect. He earned his bone. My Jesus, he earned his bone. He didn't have to, but he did, my friend. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just like King Saul, he was a king. He didn't have to earn his bones. He could have demanded it, but he said, no, I'm going to earn it through forgiveness. I'm going to earn it through fighting their battles for them, and I'm going to earn it through making a personal sacrifice by dying on the cross.
Come on, man. Jesus.
This is Jesus right here, who makes a personal sacrifice, who wins public victories, and who pardons his people. Shouldn't we be like Jesus? He gained the respect. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool. Pardoning people makes and keeps you humble.
Amen.
That's what it does.
Amen.
You know what pardoning does? Pardoning people, it makes you humble and it keeps you humble. When people, you know, rub you wrong, or when people, you know, offend you, don't hold unforgiveness. Forgive them.
Amen.
Quick.
Right.
You know why?
Right, Pastor.
Because it keeps you humble.
Right.
Because sometimes we get hurt because people said something and they treated us a certain way, and we get hurt. We get hurt because we think that we should be. We think that we are here, and reality is like, you know, no. Sometimes God sends people those way. Like I said on Friday, iron sharpens iron. And God, sometimes those people come around just so that God can see where we're at. And we get hurt because we're like, we feel like we shouldn't be treated like that. But God is saying, no, I'm just trying to, I'm just giving you an opportunity to practice forgiveness. And I'm just giving you an opportunity so that you can be more humble, my friend. And listen, when we forgive and we pardon people, it makes and keeps us humble.
Amen.
Pride comes before a fall. Humbling yourself is part of earning your bones. You're going to have to humble yourself a lot of times when you get rebuked. When you get corrected. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, humble yourselves therefore, and the piano player can come up. Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That's 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You want to earn your bones? You want to be lifted up? Humble yourself. That's how you earn your bones. Listen, this wasn't given to me, church. You see me now? This wasn't given to me and my wife. This wasn't given to us. I know sometimes you see people, you know, oh, Mother's Day, they're giving Sister Sylvia a gift. Oh, Father, that means they're going to give Pastor a gift. Oh, here's their anniversary. Oh, so now they're asking. Listen, we didn't ever have that. We never asked for that. But listen, we did the same thing, and we do the same thing for our pastors. We take care of our pastors.
Right.
You know why? Because they earn their bones.
Right.
My sister-in-law, she's not here this morning because she works as a nurse, and she works overnight shifts. She'll be here tonight. If you're watching, you better be here because I already said the church. You better be here. Anyway, she went to Code Red yesterday, the other day. She used to go to Victoria's Dallas with Sylvia. Sylvia got her whole family saved. She got saved at the drama. She was the drama girl. They called her the drama girl, your pastor's wife, your spiritual mom. They called her the drama girl because she would just go to the dramas. She wouldn't go to church. She wouldn't come to Sunday morning. She wouldn't come to Friday night. She wouldn't go to gang. She just went to all the drama. So they called her the drama girl. So finally, in one drama, she finally got saved. And she probably went for the wrong reasons. For the guys. No, okay. I better behave. She wasn't always saved. She just looked like a saint right now. She wasn't always saved. And she went all the dramas, you know. And finally she got saved. And then when she got saved, she started inviting her sisters and her mom. And her sisters and her mom got saved. And they're saved, you know. And so sister used to go to Dallas, and then when we came out here, she started coming to our church, you know. And I always say it, she lives in Pleasant Grove, she lives in East Dallas, but she comes to our church. This is why I always say, a church alive is worth a drive. Huh? Don't let the devil lie, it's too far. No, it ain't. She comes all the way from Pleasant Grove. But anyways, long story longer, she went into the church of Dallas, and she remembers when we first came. When I came and when she came, we were in a building, probably, man, half this size, not even half this size. The building was from that wall to this pillar, probably. Oh no, from wall to wall. Let's just say from wall to wall. But that wall still being up. That's how the size of the building. No, it was probably shorter than that. It was, yeah, probably from the pillar to that wall. And from the pillars to this wall. That's how little the Big Charge Dallas Church was when I came in. And when they came in. And when she got there, she hadn't been to the Dallas church in a long time. And she got there that day for Code Red. And she seen the building. She said, wow, they have a nice building. And she looks at my wife and she says, but I know where they came from.
Amen.
I know where they came from. I know it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always like this for them. But they learned to earn their bones.
Amen.
And they're blessed. Some of you know where we come from.
That's right. Yeah.
Louisa, Josh, you know where we come from? We didn't have all this. We live in a rat-infested, vulture-infested building. Huh? Was it humbling? Yes, it was humbling. Family would come over and visit, and there the rats go. There the mice. All those are our family, too. Don't worry. They never came back. Huh? So, you know, we're in our bones.
Thank you.
We live in the home. So you see Joshua in the home. That's great. Yeah, you know.
Amen.
You ran the home first.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Pioneered it.
That's right, man.
We don't have to know more.
Work.
Huh? Because we were faithful in our post.
That's right.
We made a personal sacrifice. And one day when he showed up, I said, "Come on, come close. love you." Take the running shoes off. Amen. Love you guys. I call you on your life. Yeah, you do anything so Pastor. Yeah, man, you call. I'm from the home. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm from the home. Yeah, win right now. Okay, I'm going. Ran from the home. Been there 5 years, 6 years.
Personal
sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's earning his bones.
Thank you, Jesus.
Joe was hot yesterday in the car wash, right?
Yep.
You're earning your bones. Amen. Well, guys, why don't you stay? I ain't staying. I earned my bones. I was in the home, and then, man, I would get mad because every day they'd send me to the car wash. I was like, what's wrong with Mike Stale? You know, the pastor from Fort Worth. Why can't he go to the car wash? Because he had more muscles than I did. And they needed him at the furniture store. Good furniture. I said, well, I can get muscles, and I try to get more muscles. They sent me to the car wash. It'd be raining, I'd be at the car wash.
Yeah.
It'd be hot, I'd be at the car wash. Nobody would be getting their car wash, and I'd be at the car wash.
Right.
Oh, and I wanted to leave the car wash. So I'm earning my bones.
Right.
I'm earning my bones. I'm just earning my bones. Sometimes it seems like in ministry, right, we're not going forward. No. God is just, he's making us earn our bones. You want growth, but you got to earn your bones. In closing, we live in a day where we want everything easy. And where everything almost has been made easy. With things like fast food, microwaves, technology, the internet, Google, and social media. Facebook has given everyone a platform. People can have a platform without earning their bones to get it. This is dangerous. Because it takes the value of it out. And we can start cheapening what costs others so much. We can start cheapening what cost those that went before us so much, we start to cheapen it. Because we're not a society that learns to earn our bones. A kingdom people knows how to earn their bones. We gotta earn our bones. You want a voice in the church? Earn your bones. Earn your bones. They're not gonna come just by being weakened warriors. Sometimes we want to just be a weekend warrior. We just show up on the weekend and we want to have a voice. It doesn't work like that, my friend. I don't need weekend warriors. God don't need weekend warriors where you're just on weekend. Dun, 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 here I am to perform. Let me preach. Let me do this. Let me do that. No, but where are you at Monday through Saturday? We need 7 day a week soldiers. This is the greatest cause. This is the greatest cause. This is the greatest institution in the world. This is what's going to last right here.
Right.
Sometimes we get so little.
Come on.
We've got to learn to lay it down and make those personal sacrifices and fight those public victories.
Yeah.
and pardon people to earn our bones. Victory Church Grand Prairie, we're earning our bones, and we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it, man. We're doing it. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're doing it. Huh? We're doing it. And we got to continue to do it. And in due time, we shall reap a harvest. In due time, I see it. I see God raising up leaders. I see new leaders raising up. I see it. I see workers. I see servants. I see a people that's on fire for God. I see a church on fire. I see a church on fire. God just has us tucked away still. Because he's working on us. He's working on us. You know, I was there fellowshipping with the pastors yesterday. And they were just giving out nuggets. I was just catching them. I was just... I'm going to take that one. I have my shepherd bag. Put that one in my shepherd bag. And you know, my pastor and Pastor Vincent started, and they started talking about David. And my pastor asked, what are you preaching on? I told him what I was preaching on. He said, man, I'm preaching on Samuel 2. And blah, blah, blah. And when I started sharing with him what I'm preaching on, he says, I'm preaching on this. And then we started talking about King David. And he started to say, you know about King David? You know why God had him in the shepherd's field? God had him in the shepherd's field because he had to separate him from his brothers. Because if he would have had them together, he would have been just like his brothers. And even though his brothers seemed to be on the front line of the battle, and he was over there with the stinky sheep, God did that on purpose because he knew if he put him with his brothers, he would have been like his brothers, probably cowering away. Because they would have rubbed off on him. So what he had to do to David, he had to separate him with the sheep and to do the job that nobody else wanted to do.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had to earn his bones.
Come on, man.
He had to earn his bones. And so sometimes when you feel separated, sometimes when you feel lonely, leadership is lonely at the top. Because nobody else wants to fight for people. But here we are fighting for people. Nobody wants to go to the rally, but here you are. There'd be times I did rallies just me and two disciples. Huh? There'd be times I'd be at car wash, just me and two, three disciples.
Come
on. Huh? And then when my wife, my beautiful wife over there, started having eyes for me. Ooh, she's starting to show up. Truth down. Stand to your feet here this morning. Church, let's earn our bones. Let's earn our bones. You know, one of the ways we're going to earn our bones, and I'm going to just start getting you ready, is we got to do great things. We got to do great things. And this is why one of our goals is to be able to purchase a building or purchase this building. We're not going to stay here. This doesn't mean we're going to stay here. We need to purchase it. We need to purchase it. We need to buy this building so that we can have some equity later on. Because it's too small. It's too small. But in order for us to get something bigger, we got to have at least something. We got to have something in the bank. We got to be able to sell something. So our goal, one of our goals is to buy this building. Not even to say try to buy it. And we did the pledge, and that was to keep up with this building. But we're going to start doing a building fund pledge. Building fund. It's not a building. It's not a pledge. It's a building fund. A building fund. And we're going to, and what our plan is to challenge the people to give an offering every month of $50. This is besides your tithe. This is besides your tithe. Just every month, a $50 offering. And it goes all to the building fund. And it goes into the savings. By the time our lease is up here, in 2.5 years, we have a good chunk put aside to purchase. Or even before. Really, I wanted to purchase it before. Because in reality, in 2 years, 2.5 years, we probably want something bigger. Either make this thing bigger or go somewhere bigger. Because this place is getting too small for us. Is getting too small for us. We need a bigger place.
Amen.
For growth. Huh? But we need to earn our bones. You know why? Because it looks better when we're owners. When we're owners. When we're owners. When we own. Huh? We're in a better place to negotiate when we can come to the back and say, we own something. Come on now.
Well.
So we want to start a building fund. And through that, as we purchase, we earn our bones. We get respect. Not just because of respect, but because we need, you know, you need it with the people. The bank don't care about anointing. They care about paper.
And we need to have good respect called credit with them. And it also does something in our region when they hear, you know, they bought their own building.
Other churches have done it. Austin just bought their buildings.
San Antonio's bought their building. In our region, we don't have any one of our churches that own their building. We could be the first.
Yeah.
We could be the first. Yeah. We could be the trailblazers. Not because of pride, not because of anything. Because we want our bones.
Yeah.
Huh? And God take us from glory to glory. Glory to glory. And so I want to prepare you to pray. I want you to pray about that. And maybe next week or the week after, I'm gonna throw the challenge out. That who will stand with us? And you know what we're going to call you? We're going to call you kingdom builders. All those that stand with us, you will be called kingdom builders. Because that's what we're doing. And I'm not expecting it to happen overnight. But one day after another day, after one week after another, it may start off, but as we begin to stack, it'll come up and we'll be in a position to be able to purchase.
Amen.
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 I mean, we could do it. We're a bunch of thugs. We're a bunch of ex-drug addicts. Ex-ex-ex-this. You know why God loves Texas? Because all his exes live in Texas. Ex-gang members, ex-drug addicts. Huh? Man, what do you mean? Big charge is buying their building? That drug addict, them crazy people, them low.
Yeah. That's us. Yeah.
Amen. Look what the Lord has done. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word.